as technology advances with AI and things are getting faster and we have multiple different large language models, we're always trying to switch things up or trying to figure out, okay, what are we doing manually in our agency with the SEO along with the software that we still have to do, you know, by human.
Unlock the secret sauce of millionaire entrepreneurs. This is your exclusive VIP pass to the hidden world of the ultra successful business owners. I'm Chad Kaderi, CEO of DashClix, and welcome to Behind the Revenue. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Behind the Revenue. We have the man, the legend himself, Danny Vega, is with us from a really cool company that's trending. We'll talk about it here on the podcast, called Chadix. And I know what most of you guys are thinking. Did he name the company after you? We're going to find out here on this episode today. Danny, if you can do me a favor, just for context, tell a little bit about, you know, the people, about what it is that you do, who you are, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So Danny Vega again, Chad, thanks for having me here and inviting me on the podcast. So a little bit about myself. I have two businesses. I have a digital marketing agency that we run marketing for local businesses, primarily chiropractors, but we've expanded out. And then we also have an SEO SaaS company called Chadix that we launched last year in August. It's so August of 2023. And so I've been in the whole space of entrepreneurship for about 16 years now.
I want to talk about your agency. I want to kind of like spiral into that, because I obviously had an agency as well. We opened our agency in 2009, primarily dealing with home services. So you're still actively running your agency right now. You're still onboarding clients, and are you doing running ads, or like, what are you doing to get new clients?
Yeah. So I've never been an ads guy, right? I mean, as far as for myself, for lead gen, this current agency that I have has been in existence for about 6 years now, almost. And it was like 95% all referral based. Wow. So at the very beginning, we did a little bit of outbound just through DMs, organic through Facebook. But a lot of it was through inbound as well. And now, especially, which I'm sure we'll get into, we've grown a lot just last month alone, January 2024. Yeah. And it's all been just inbound now. So there's no, awesome. So even though I have an SEO SaaS, I haven't done SEO for my agency at all. I'm not running ads or anything like that. It's just been all inbound or referral based.
Yep. Most of, I think probably the first, maybe like three years of my agency was networks, and then working my network to get referrals through that. And then obviously for us, I mean, we were trying to scale. We hit a wall. We needed we ended up going not the ad route, believe it or not. I was not an ads guy. Probably not until we started DashClix. I didn't really run many ads at all, in fact. We were doing a lot of organic, and then we were also doing a lot of outbound, like cold calling. So we had a call center, you know, the reps and all that whole fun stuff, which
right.
we won't do again. So your agency, are you guys offering SEO? Is that like your thing? You're an SEO agency?
Yeah. So when we first started, so this was before COVID, right? It was primarily Facebook ads. So Facebook, Instagram, you know, same thing. Since COVID, actually it was 2021 when Jasper came out. I'm sure, okay. You know, we all know yep. Jasper.ai. We introduced SEO into our clients, into their marketing. Because, you know, before that it was hard to just scale content. You know, human writers and we're outsourcing and all that stuff, right? But now Jasper came out, it was so easy to scale the content side. So that's at that time is when we introduced SEO to them. And we pretty much do a three-tier approach for local. It's paid advertising, it's SEO, and then the website. And then it's also short form video content, which plays a huge role. Too? I'm sorry?
You're building the websites too?
Most of the time their websites are not that good, so we redesign them all.
Got you. Okay, yeah. Cool. Very cool. Awesome. And what's like your average client? What are you charging? $1,000, $2,000 a month?
It's normally, for the longest time, it's been about $1,500 a month retainer. Now it's, you know, now we have like three clients like in the $4,000 range a month.
Wow.
But it goes up from there. It just depends on, you know, the type of business. A lot of our clients now are not chiropractors. So we kind of expanded. It's still local, but it's kind of expanded just beyond that.
So you went from agency. And it seems like it's funny because this is now the third podcast that we did where we had a founder that was an agency owner turned software creator. So let's jump into Chatx really quick, because Chatx is super cool. Obviously, I know, you know, to add some context for the audience here, you know, we have our little what's called OG's chat, where it's basically me, you, Ross, Mikael, Roger, like all five of us are inside of a chat. Right. And it's basically five software founders that are just talking all day about what's working, what's not working, you know, reviewing each other's ideas and being like, Chad, don't do that. That's a shitty idea. Or that's a great idea. Or that looks good. Right. So like, walk me through, why did you start a software company? Like, yeah, because that's a crazy switch. I've been there and it's a crazy switch.
Yeah. It's more like an add-on, because I, you know, I haven't left the agency. The agency is still, it's stronger than it has before. So I've always been a techie geeky guy, right? I've been into, like, when I first started 16 years ago, it was building websites. Along with that came SEO, because I had to help, you know, my niche back then was helping small web design agencies who had clients. So gotcha. I didn't know how to get clients. I didn't know how to talk to them, but I knew like the web stuff, right? The HTML, the CSS, I knew that talk. So I could talk to these web design agencies who could get the clients, and that's how I started. But from there, naturally building WordPress sites back then, HTML sites, I had to start learning development. So learning PHP, MySQL, stuff like that. And then from there came SEO, like right behind it. So all three, you know, I was dealing with at that time. So I always had that development mindset and experience for such a long time. Now, obviously, when Jasper came out, you know, talking about that again, solved the problem with creating content, but then it created another problem, which was scaling the SEO side of things, right? So I had to scale a team, hire more people, train them, but it was still humans doing the work. Then when OpenAI came out in the end of 2022, it's almost been a year and a half now. It's crazy. So OpenAI came out, and then the beginning of last year in 2023, I started having the idea, let me create something that solves an internal problem in my agency, which is the SEO side.
Every single person that I speak to, their software 90% of the time is solving their own problem first. The same thing with Dashclicks. We built our platform to solve our own internal client management and prospecting issues. And then we let it out into the world. And that's basically, I'm assuming, what you did. Hey, real quick, if you're a marketing agency or a B2B service or software provider, Dashclicks offers white label fulfillment services and software to businesses just like yourself. Go ahead and create your free Dashclicks account. I went ahead and left a link in the show notes, or you could just go to dashclicks.com.
Yeah, definitely. So everything from just, like, every little process and things that we do in the agency is in terms of SEO on the fulfillment side, we've just started rolling that out into Chatx. And it's been, so we launched in August of last year, 2023, and now it's been six and a half months since we have gone live to the public. And we're just constantly updating things as technology advances with AI, and things are getting faster, and we have multiple different large language models. We're always trying to switch things up, or trying to figure out, okay, what are we doing manually in our agency with the SEO along with the software that we still have to do, you know, by human, and then let's get that integrated in there so that way we can eliminate that task.
So your goal is to eliminate humans?
Yes, in a way.
Awesome. I love it. I mean, that, in a way. That's technically, I feel like, what's happening with AI. Like, if you look at the trends, you know, talk about Jasper for a second, like, we can go back, right? Jasper literally eliminated content writers, a lot of positions for content writers. ChatGPT obviously eliminated a lot of jobs. Now we have other AI networks coming out, like Air.ai and HeyGen, and like all these other AI companies these are entire industries. Like Air.ai, for those of you guys that don't know what it is, and other companies, it's not the only one that does it, is basically robocalling, but like with an AI, right? That's essentially what it's doing. So it's literally going to replace customer service. It's going to replace salespeople. It's going to replace MDRs, SDRs, customer support reps, like literally everything across the board. Same thing with HeyGen. Like I did a video on HeyGen the other day. It's not there yet, by the way. None of these, in my opinion, are there yet. They're not there yet enough to replace a human. The calls and the video stuff, it's not there. I personally will not use it. I think they need at least another year to like keep fine tuning, because if something seems like it's AI, it's impersonal, right?
Right.
I had a whole conversation with this about, I forgot who we had on that I was talking about, but that's what basically we were talking about. We're talking about like how AI, like if you can feel that it's AI, it just like people actually like kind of like don't want to deal with it because it's like disingenuous, it's impersonal, right? Especially for like ads, like we were talking about running ads, talking about creating videos and using those videos to run ads with HN, basically. So my question to you is, like, AI is super trending right now. It's like the thing. What do you think is going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months with the way that AI, like how fast it's moving?
Yeah. and that's something that, you know, as especially, you know, now owning a software company, we have to think about in order to kind of keep up with that trend, right? Like in the SEO space, it's a lot of like, you know, Google's just released Gemini like the other day. Gemini, you know, they have Gemini Advanced, which is their ultra model. And then now just, I think it was yesterday, they just released internally Gemini 1.5, which can input, I think it was 1 million tokens, which is about 500,000 pages of content.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, we've got these models that are just trying to one up each other, because that's essentially what they're doing with OpenAI. And then you've got, you know, and Anthropic on the other side as well. That's really good with Claude. And then OpenAI just released, I think yesterday as well, I think Sage is I believe, yep, right, is what it's called.
I just literally saw it now, which is, yeah, insane. Like,
yeah, I mean, it just looks so good. So
for those of you guys that don't know what Sage is, hopefully by the time this podcast gets released, you'll know what Sage is. But Sage is, it's basically text to video. So
yeah,
you literally
really good.
You type in what you want, and it creates you like a 1 minute Pixar like video. It's insane. And I was just sitting at lunch right before I jumped in here, and we saw a TikTok reel of that, of Sage, right? And I'm sitting there with my partner, and I'm like, dude, can you imagine? And like once they start fine tuning that, like, where's the movie industry going to be? Like the kids movies, like Pixar's, like all that stuff. Like I can just create a whole movie. Like eventually, if there's text to video, there's eventually going to be a way in a year, 2 years, 5 years where I can type in text and it will spit out a whole movie. Like think about it. Like if I go to ChatGPT, I can already create a whole movie script basically in ChatGPT, right? And then I can just take that movie script, go text to video, and then it'll probably at one point have audio to go with that video, and I'm creating movies, dude, from like my bedroom. It's insane.
Yeah, there's this guy on Facebook that I'm friends with that he has an album. I think he has a couple albums on Spotify that's getting millions of views just with music alone. That's all AI driven.
Wow.
It's yeah, so I mean, I think the possibilities are like, if you want to do anything nowadays, it's a lot easier than it was before when we started.
Is, you know, everything that you're doing in Chattix all AI related? Like it's everything's touching AI?
Yeah, I mean, so we have multiple different components of SEO, right? But yeah, I mean, pretty much everything in there is AI driven at some point.
As far as
like all the different features.
Break down really quick, like what is Chattix? Add some context for the viewers.
Yeah, so Chattix it's a way to automate your SEO with AI. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? We have, obviously, when we first launched, it was just the ability to create content because we had to start with the
kinda
foundation.
Like a Jasper?
Yeah, it was more long form content, but it was focused on being SEO optimized.
Okay,
so all your on page optimization that needs to be done to your content. It started with that, right? So it wasn't just like a paragraph here or two there. I mean, we were knocking out 3,000-4,000 word contents or, you know, pieces of articles.
And are these ranking also?
Yeah.
Like you're seeing pieces rank? Like that's crazy.
Yeah, we use it on our clients. Yeah. All of our clients that we do SEO for, we use that, you know, strictly. And then we use that. So for local, we also use Chattix to rank their maps, which is a huge part in the local space.
So, oh, I want to dive deep into the first part, and then we're going to keep going with this. So, like, I want to talk about blog content for AI-driven blog content. There's a lot of articles and basically a lot of research that's done that's basically saying that Google will eventually, if not already, are picking up on AI-based content, right? And they're going to start flagging websites, right? It's like, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're, I think the main thing is, it's the personalization behind the content, right? So if you're just going to go to ChatGPT and say, give me an SEO article on, you know, this topic, and then you just copy and paste that, then yeah, it's going to get flagged very quickly. The main thing with SEO now, it's really creating good content. You know, like what we believe in are two core foundations: it's structure and content. So making sure you have all your structure in place, and then making sure that you have content. The content side is like that 20% of the 80-20 rule. You know, there's a lot of things that need to happen before. You know, it's like painting a room, right? You got to do all your prep work first. You can't just go and just start painting the walls because it's going to start chipping. Same thing with your SEO, right? So we focus on the structural side of things, the website, the structure of the pages, our topic clusters, making sure we have all our, you know, service pages and articles refined and done the research for. So we want to do all that stuff before we start getting to the writing side. Gotcha. But on the writing side with AI, we inject personalization from the business itself in order to be used to write the content.
So it's like creating, you know, like almost like a profile for the business in a way?
Yeah, like a profile. We do a lot of back-end processes, like, you know, finding who that customer demographic is, finding the target audience, you know, the niche, all that information.
And that's done with AI? Like, you're also creating a profile with AI?
Right. Cool. Yeah, we use all that. The only thing that we don't use that to generate AI-driven stuff is the content that's existing on the website. So that's our main thing. Like, we want to pull real data, right? We want to pull that data and then give it to AI in order for them to utilize that data. And those are the pieces of content that we find that have worked the best and has brought in traffic and revenue behind it.
Is your goal, like, long-term vision for ChatX, is your goal, because I've seen this, I don't know what the company name is, but I've seen the ads for it, where it's basically, it's automating SEO to the point where it's like, I don't know if it's using AI, but it's basically, it's from what I'm understanding, it's probably going, scraping your website, finding all the issues, and then, like, with a click of a button, it just goes and fixes everything, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen what, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, there's one company that has that, and we have that as well. Inside
you
of chat.
You have that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, like, all the different components.
You have to integrate with all these different, are you integrating with like WordPress, with Shopify, with like all of these different platforms?
Yeah. So right now we integrate with Shopify, WordPress, and GoHighLevel. Those are the main three that we integrate with right now. The integration with any other CMS system is pretty easy.
Really?
So from there, as far as the kind of the fix and deploy is what we call it. We just run a full site audit, and then anything that's on page related that can be fixed, like anything that has to do with like titles or meta descriptions or, you know, the content or broken links, missing image metadata, like your alt text for your images, all that can be fixed, right? So we use AI in order to pull from the website. Okay, again, we pull from the website first. We find the context of that page. And then we utilize AI to kind of create those missing pieces. If the title's too long, then we'll shorten that out and create an SEO optimized title based on the context of the website and that page that we're optimizing.
That is really cool.
Yeah, we can go through sites that are hundreds of pages now can easily be done in, you know, 30 minutes rather than like weeks.
My fear with the like automated push approach like that is, does it ever break a site? Or is it doing tasks that's not really like, you're not, it's not like tasks that are like you're messing with the HTML or structure of the site or anything like that?
Yeah, we haven't found it. Like, you know, we've only been doing that on WordPress. So that's the first platform that we go after. So with these fix and deploys, we haven't noticed any sites break, because the only thing that we're changing, we just insert a piece of JavaScript code, and that code is only changing certain elements on each of those pages or the post. So it's not changing anything else on the website.
Got you. And it's not, is it mainly content based? Is that what it's changing? Like mainly the contents of the page?
Right. Yeah. So any titles, meta description, or anything that's on page itself, including, you know, image metadata, things like that. So anything that has to do with the HTML code that's on the page.
That's cool. That's just scraping the whole site and just doing its thing.
Yep.
Wow. Very cool. All right, man. I'm actually fascinated. I think I get fascinated when I see stuff like that, because I've been doing SEO for a long time, right? It's crazy how like humans are literally being replaced, which is
it's scary too, but it's cool and scary at the same time.
I think it's cooler than scary, in my opinion, because especially for me, I'm a business owner. It's like you want to try to have the largest margins possible, and payroll is usually the biggest.
Oh yeah.
Expense that's on your books as a business owner. So, you know, as a smart business owner, you want to figure out how to bring down your payroll expense. The first thing you start looking at is automations, AI, like stuff like that's what we look at as business owners. So it's really cool to see that this all like coming into fruition. So what's next for Chatix? Like, so you guys are basically doing, I know you guys do the blog stuff. Which is awesome. So you guys do, you said, what was it called? The pull and push? Is that what you called it?
Fix and deploy. Yeah. So it's part of the site audit, right? So we do the content, we do the site audits. We do keyword research built into Chatix. We have keyword clustering, part of that as well. And then we have
keyword clustering.
So keyword clustering is where you take a list of keywords either that you research or that you're importing from any other tool like SEMrush or Ahrefs or even Google Search Console.
Yep.
And then you import that into Chatix, and then it will go through and cluster them together, which is grouping them based on semantic relevancy, based on search engine results. So grouping is just a way to not avoid, it's like the old school way that we used to do SEO, like way back in the day, was you could take, you know, just a list of keywords and just start writing one page for each one, right?
Yep. That was the old school way.
Yeah, like really old school. So like plumber, right? Plumber in San Antonio. Yep. So if you'd have, you know, plumber in San Antonio, you write one page. If you'd have San Antonio plumber, you'd write another one, right? So you could have like 30 different keywords that are all related to each other. And then you would create all these different pages, right? But then that would create cannibalization where you're having each page compete with each other. So instead you group them together, you cluster them. So you have one primary keyword and then you have a cluster of like relative or related keywords. And that way you're just ranking one solid authority page instead of having multiple different ones that won't rank at all.
That's cool. So it will go out, it will create the cluster, and then it will obviously, I'm assuming, create the content for it. Is it
right? That? Yeah, we're going to get to the point where we can create multiple like topic clusters, like one pillar page and like 10 blog articles in one click, rather than having to do each page by itself. So that's going to be coming pretty soon.
That's cool. That's awesome. What's like the full vision of Chatix? Is it, because I know right now I feel like you're just touching the surface, right? Like what's like, fast forward 3 years, 5 years, like where do you see Chatix doing?
Yeah, that far. Right now, I'm not thinking like that far out ahead, even though maybe I should. It's more of like, okay, really figuring out and honing in on who my target audience is. We have a lot of agency owners. And we have a lot of local business owners, right? We also have SaaS users and we have e-com users as well. So it's almost like, you know, if you're in the local space, it's almost, I'm not going to say more harder, but you have that Google Maps component, which is kind of separate from having to rank that as well as the website. I think it really depends on the angle that Google is going to be moving, you know, SEO towards. If they're going to get rid of it somehow, or if, you know, because we have search that search generative experience. I think the SGE that's almost already here as well. That's a lot of AI driven stuff. But at the same time, they still need content either way.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, content you still have to create new content in order for AI to, you know, to get it fed, unless it starts feeding itself and creating its own content.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I have a very similar story to yours. I was also developing websites. It's funny because you were talking about like creating the pages. The first website that I ever developed was, I used to do printing back in the day when I first started my agency. So I had like a trade printing company, and then I basically just created a website and I would get all the pages ranked and I would get the phone calls. I'd take an order for business cards, flyers. I would design it because I was also doing graphic design, and then I would ship it off to a trade printer and the order to a trade printer, and they would ship it, right? And then I remember it's called printerprinting.com. It's still up, and I actually left it up because it just makes me feel good every time I look at it, like of how far I've come from that.
Yeah.
But if you look at the site, you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see like there's a thing that says locations. I must have probably created hundreds, hundreds and hundreds of location pages. And that website was done, I don't even know, maybe like 2012, 13, something like that. Somewhere around that era.
2011.
Right? 2011. Oh, you're looking at it. Yeah, 2011.
I'm right? looking at it right here.
So yep. Go down. You'll see the location pages. It's funny. But yep. Yeah, man, because that's why when you were saying that before, I was laughing. I was like, yep, I know what you mean. And by the way, I hand wrote all of those because there was no AI in 2011.
Yeah, right?
So hand wrote, developed in Dreamweaver, by the way. So custom CSS, HTML, all that good stuff. So that was fun. That was the first website that I learned how to build. And I actually got it ranked. I was getting thousands of visitors a month. And that's basically what propelled my business into even having a marketing agency, because I started off doing printing and graphic design. Then people would ask me for websites, and then people would ask me for SEO, and I started doing SEO. Yeah. And I remember this is where I'm kind of like piggybacking off that topic that you just said of like things are changing in SEO constantly. I remember doing SEO because I used to get an order and then I got to go do the SEO. I was doing it myself, right? This is like talking about like 2013, 14, where I started doing SEO. And I remember Moz, I'm sure you're familiar with Moz, mm-hmm. right? I remember Rand Fiskin, who, when he was at Moz, doing the Whiteboard Fridays, I think it was. Whiteboard Fridays, where we used to watch every single one of those. And like, I used to see like Google updates, like the Panda update and this update and that. And I'm like, dude, they keep updating shit. And it must be, it must be crazy because they update frequently. And a lot of the times, they won't even say that they're updating anything.
Yep.
You just wake up in the morning and shit's different. Like, how many times have you logged into Google and it looks different or something has changed or added, right? So most people that are just searching on Google, they won't notice that stuff. But marketers or people doing SEO, they notice. Oh, why did they add an extra 3 placements for ads? There used to only be 1, right? Or why, like, things are constantly changing, right? How do you keep up with all of these changes? Because every time they change something, do you have to change something in your software now?
No. The only thing that we're changing is more of like just our workflows, right? So we have specific workflows of like how we do things in our agency and it's almost the same thing that I've always done. So like SEO, the way we do it, just focusing on structuring content, has really never changed over the last decade, right? It's always been the same thing. Whereas people who are doing backlinks are always creating like all these like PBNs and Web 2.0 property sites and like directory listing. They're doing like all sorts of crazy stuff, right? We just focus just on like structure and content. Yeah. So as long as there's still a need for content, you know, like it just makes our process so much easier. The only thing we ever have to change is just like the different types of content that we create. Like when we first launched, it was more of like that long form content. Again, 3,000 to 5,000 words was pretty simple to just generate in less than 10 minutes. Now we're focusing more on just really, now that we've kind of launched and we built out certain building blocks, now our content is more focused on, you know, optimal word count, you know, making sure that we analyze SERP engine, you know, the top 10 SERPs. And then we focus on entities and things like that are more topical related rather than keyword focused.
Got you.
So that's kind of like where our content is now moved towards. But we had to get everything else done first before we got to that point.
Are you seeing a lot of people that are using your product? Is it more blogs that they're creating?
I mean, pages and posts. I mean, it's all, I think when someone mentions blogs, at least someone who's not familiar with SEO, they think of like, oh, you know, today my business, you know, we had 10 customers come in and it was a happy Friday.
Yeah.
You know, like those types of blogs. But yeah, I mean, you know, blogs are just good structured pieces of content that just link back to a specific page.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, whether they're blogs or whether they're actual pillar pages that are like your service pages, you know, it doesn't really matter at that point. It could still be done inside of Chatix.
I love it, man. Dude, it sounds like you guys are 6 months in. How many users are you guys at right now?
Probably about 110, 120, somewhere around there.
It's awesome, dude. In yeah. 6 months, man.
It's taking it slow, you know, making sure we feedback is crucial, right? So I mean, we're not in a rush. Even though we've been pretty consistent with churn and we've gone up since 6 months, but even though if it's a little bit, on the flip side, my agency has drastically grown just last month alone. I think
I increased. People just come in and they just don't want to deal with it. Is that what it is?
I thought that initially, but we've only had a couple people, and maybe two, actually about, yeah, about two people in the last 6 months who were like, I just want you to do it. I think it's just been just posting consistently, right? That I just get an influx of inbound people wanting me to do SEO for them. Like they just want to skip over Chatix and just hear you do it for me.
Yeah, you're becoming, or you probably have already become, an authority in the SEO space, right? And yeah, like that's what happens when you post shit all day about SEO, and your agency does SEO, and your software does SEO, and you're living and breathing SEO. Yeah, yeah, that's gonna come, dude. So, man, big kudos to you. That's awesome. So software, 110 users, 6 months open. Do you plan? I know you said you're going organically. Do you plan on running ads anytime soon and starting to get some, you know, consistent users flowing in daily? Or are you just not there yet and you're still kind of building out?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely will. I mean, I have plans for running paid ads on all channels, and you know, then doing our own SEO as well, right? I'm waiting for the software to get to the point where I can just really go hammer in really, really hard. And just because it's my own site, I'm waiting for it to kind of be perfect, right? When we shouldn't, we should just start writing content now. But yeah, again, when it's your own project, you always want to wait to that final step before you start doing something to it. But I mean, just on Google Search Console, Chatix gets at least 20, 30 hits a day just from the brand alone now.
Wow. That means people are looking for you.
Yeah.
Where do you think that they're just referral based, right? They're just people are talking. I mean, yeah, happens with these.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group too, which helps. You know, we have like 830 people in the group so far. So
do you think that a lot of people that are in the Facebook group is the people that just want to learn more about SEO also? They're just in there for the SEO stuff?
And then I mean, just as normal marketers, you know, they just join groups just to kind of see what's going on. Yeah. You know, even though they have no interest whatsoever in anything. Kind of just, you know, stalking, you know, that's kind of what happens.
Have you used School? I think I asked in our group the other day. You have used School, right? What do you think about it?
Yeah, so we have School for our users right now. It's a private school community. I'm trying to figure out whether I should open it up for the masses and just have like an AI SEO type community. And then for those that pay, just give them the course access. Because right now we have just a category for video training. But I'm thinking
it's a course, basically. You have is a course, or is it for users?
It's not set up as a course per se. It's just more of like, because in School you can create different categories. Yep. So we have like general, we have bugs, we have video training things. We have like five different ones that you can't restrict by members, or by person. Only the course you can.
It should do that, by the way, because that sucks. Because we have two school groups because of that reason alone. We have one for our coaching program and one for our like public community, where we would love to have them in just one place and just be able to filter the conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think, I mean, maybe with the whole Alex Hormozi, you know, investment, maybe something like that will change. I'm sure it will, but it might take a while, you know. I went to School because the Facebook group, you can only see so much, right? Because you have so much stuff going on from all your other feeds and different groups that you're in, where School is more like, okay, I'm going here just for this alone.
One thing that I actually really like about School, first of all, Sam Ovens is in my opinion, I've been following him for a long time now. If you know anything about Sam Ovens, he's always been all about simplicity, right? So his whole thing, like I remember like watching like videos about him, and he's like, I remember somebody posted, I was in one of his groups, and somebody posted like, why do you only have one screen? Like, shouldn't you have like two side screens? And he was like, no, dude, I just do one thing at a time. Right. And that was like, he's super simple. And what's cool is you can see that reflection inside of the software. Because if you really look at School as a software developer, look realistically, I could probably build School in like 3 months. Right. There's really nothing to it. It's like almost like a basic database. It's just formatted really, really clean and really easy. And the way that they did it, it's more on the marketing side. I don't think it's like a software. I don't think School is like a crazy software or anything like that. It's not like a revolutionary thing, in my opinion. But the marketing side behind it is really, really good. I think for one, the idea, because people are like, I'll use myself as an example. Like for us, and I'll talk about our coaching program, not even now, we moved our public community in there too, but I'll talk about our coaching program. Like for our coaching program, you know, we have like 100 plus people in our coaching program that pay monthly, right? And for communication, we use Slack. For our courses, we use Kajabi. For our calendar, we're using Kajabi Communities, which was like another little app thing that you could download, and it sucks. So we were just using it for the calendar. So like our communication was here, our courses were here, our calendar was here, and then it was like there was everything was like just separated.
Yeah.
So I think what school did was just genius. They're like, okay, I see the problem. Let me just group this shit together and give it to people. Right. And that's literally what they did. And then obviously sprinkle the marketing on top of it. And it just blows up, especially now with Alex Hormozi. It's going to get even bigger in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we were looking at Circle because Circle looked like it was pretty, you know, complex in a good way where it had everything in there. But then I'm like, I don't want to keep telling people to switch. I'm like, I'm just going to stay here and just call it home for now for support.
Yep. Well, what's next for you, like in your journey on both Chatix and your agency? Are you just slowly scaling, man? Just scaling it up, keeping things steady and making sure that you have a really solid product?
Yeah. I mean, the whole focus is really just on automating fulfillment. Before the SEO side, my first rendezvous into building a SaaS was actually for Facebook, for the ad side, right? Because I've been doing paid ads for like 9 years now. Yep. And it's just the whole optimization aspect of the ads is there's really nothing out there that will help with optimizing it with AI and then also being able to see all your competitors' ads and then bringing that into the mix and then creating a, you know, other different campaigns that can, you know, keep testing, right?
Kind of like I think Magix does that, right?
I've never used Magix before, but I mean,
they do something similar to that. I haven't used it, but I've been on their site and I was kind of poking.
But I don't
around.
Think they go and scrape all your competitors' ads, do they?
No.
Yeah.
Not that I know of. No, I think it's more of like you plug in your ads.
Okay.
And it just optimizes your ads and, you know, gives you things to do and all that stuff.
Yeah. So we built a little script that we, you know, anytime we launch an ad or just want to check for on a client of ours, that will go through and kind of scrape all the local ads in the area. That's based on a niche. So we have that, and we were going to that's kind of the route that we were going with the ad side. But whether or not I'll bring that into Chatix or another software, I don't know yet. You know,
gotcha.
Right now, it's kind of just fixing all the SEO stuff first, because there's still a couple things that we need to add to it, like reporting and some of the backlink automation stuff that we still need to do.
I can say one thing just with the way that you're trending. I think that you're doing it right. And I'll talk to you about like personal experiences too. Like for me, when we started Dashflix, we started off like just running as fast as we can. And then we also got to the point where we're like, instead of going, you know, just super straight, like kind of like a sniper approach, we're like, fuck it, we're going shotgun. We're just going to create everything and just throw it all into one platform, right? And it got really messy really fast and it got chaotic. And now we're at the point where, like, over the last probably 1 year, I would say we've literally just been bringing our focus back to really what it is that we do, which is white label fulfillment and software, just your basic software stuff for marketing agencies.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're going. So instead of going wider, is like, let's create, you know, 10 more apps inside of Dashflix, we're going deeper. And it's like, hey, we have a reputation app. Let's be the best reputation app. We have a CRM. Let's be the best CRM, right? We don't want to add so many more other layers, because it's confusing for your support team. It's confusing for your sales reps. Like as you start scaling out, right? And you have to train people on all this. You know what kind of training is like for somebody to like train to figure out every button and every feature inside of Dashflix to be able to handle customer support? It's crazy. It's like a month or two just to get trained to be able to jump into our live chat and deal with humans, right? Thank God for AI.
Yeah,
because AI is helping with about 60% of that right now in Intercom. We use Finn from Intercom. So that does a great job. But yeah, man, it's chaotic. So my opinion to you is I think you should just stay on track, man. What you're doing with the SEO stuff, I would like be the best all in one automated AI SEO platform in the world. Like that, that if I was you, like if I was in your shoes, that's like the path that I would take. I was running as fast as I can. Well, slow as I can, but in the same speed. But yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You're talking about like the Facebook ads and bringing it in. And it's like, it would be cool, but I think it would also divert from what you're really doing, which is your whole goal of Chatx is to automate SEO. It seems like it's like the, your end solution. It's like, can you imagine doing SEO without any humans? That would be fucking cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, I know we are running out of time. Danny, first and foremost, dude, thank you so much for jumping on with us. It's been a pleasure to have you on. If the viewers want to get to know you or any more information about you, where's a good place where they could go?
Yeah, Facebook. I'm always on Facebook. So soon we'll be on, you know, more on YouTube and things like that. But for now, it's just Facebook.
Awesome. Danny Vega on Facebook. Go hit up Chatx as well if you're looking to automate your SEO. And once again, thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see you here in the near future.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chad. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one. Hey, do you want more of the Behind the Revenue podcast? Look, join our private Facebook group where marketing agencies from all over the world are sharing strategies, network, and scale their businesses together. Visit facebook.com/groups/dashclicks to get instant access. And also, if this podcast helped you in any way, please do me a favor, share it with friends, leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. That really helps build our community.